we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Thank you for being here today, and also thank you for not getting your stuff and leaving at the side of Tom Brady celebrating a championship. Welcome to Redemption Church. My wife says she was this close, she almost grabbed her stuff. Welcome to Redemption Church. We are a faith-filled, mighty church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. If you don't know me, I want to meet you and get to know you. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so blessed to serve here as lead pastor. Today, we start a new sermon series entitled Champion. 2 weeks ago, we saw Tom Brady race his fifth championship trophy. I'm not a big Tom Brady fan. Please forgive me if that offends you. But he raised that trophy. Anybody know the name of the NFL trophy? It's called the Lombardi Trophy, all right? In sports, the pinnacle moment of the whole season is the championship.
Yeah.
Everyone plays to be at that game, and they play to win that game. In baseball, we see that final out recorded in the World Series, and it is always followed by grown men running around like children in celebration. Yeah. Every time. In basketball, we see them we see the championship team raise a banner each year and cut down the nets. In hockey, the champions' names are added to that trophy. Anybody know the name of the It's the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley's Cup, right? They actually add their names to that trophy year after year, so it's always getting larger and bigger. We celebrate champions.
Yeah.
Jersey sales, always on the up after a championship season. There is a parade for the champion. Some people get tattoos, right? The internet's filled with people that got tattoos before the championship and then were a little bit bummed when their team came up short. People go on social media to tell off all the haters and say that they always knew that this was their year and you better get ready because they're calling it right now. Dynasty, you just look out because we're going to win next year too.
Yeah.
Every year. All right. We celebrate champions, but we celebrate champions after the victory. And this is what I want to preach to you about today. We focus on the victory moment. And while the victory moment is so sweet, if we focus on the victory moment, we often lose sight of what brought that team to the victory moment. We often forget about the adversity. You see, every champion faces adversity. We forget that there were moments where defeat seemed more likely than victory. We forget that some people never gave this team a chance. We forget that there were injuries. We forget that not every call went their way. And there were some times where injustice from a ref came their way and some unfair things happened to them. We usually forget that when the ticker tape is falling. We forget that some people left the team the prior year for greener pastures elsewhere. We usually forget this in sports, in the frenzy of the win. It is a shame that we only remember moments of victory, because if we would remember the other moments, it would help us understand what makes a champion. What does make a champion? We're going to be spending 6 weeks answering this question. I believe that there are champions in this room today. All right? You may not see it yet, but God sees it. God sees it. We're going to be looking at a story you've never heard of. The story of David and Goliath. Anybody ever hear that story? All right? No embarrassment if you've not heard that story. But for 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at the story of David and Goliath. There are some championship plans in that story. And I want you to grab hold of those plans and win yourself a victory. All right? Y'all ready? You know the story of David and Goliath, right? Because the young boy defeats the giant Goliath with what? What does he defeat him with? With a stone in a sling, hits him right in the head. And you know that the boy was celebrated as a champion that day, right? No one was calm in the in Israel's camp that day. They were going crazy when that little boy beat that big old bad giant with that stone and a sling. You know that this boy in one shot saved his nation from the nation of Philistia. Israel was in big trouble. They were about to lose their entire freedom to this nation. It's not just a good story for David. It was everybody's story immediately. We won the victory. The nation of Israel started singing songs about David after this day. David married King Saul's daughter, and they no doubt became the power couple of Israel. Everyone knew David after this day. His story was told over and over again. It is still told to this day. If we aren't careful, we will focus on the moment of victory. We will focus on the moment when the trophy is raised. We will focus on the moment when the parade and all the shouts and all the happiness and all the joy. We'll focus on all those moments of victory and the aftermath of that, and lose sight of the valuable lessons that are learned in the struggle. The struggle that is walked through in order to get to the victory. I want to talk to you today before the victory. Look at somebody, say, before the victory. Before the victory. Before the victory, David was just a shepherd boy. No one celebrates a shepherd. Shepherds smell. The smell of sheep is not a pleasant smell. There is no cologne out there called sheep. Doesn't exist. The smell of goats. No. Goat Herder by Calvin Klein. Does not exist yet. Doesn't exist yet. They smell. No one celebrates a shepherd. They spend all their time with sheep. Not dignitaries or celebrities, right? No one gives trophies to shepherds. No awards. No medals. No crowns. Those are all reserved for like warriors and kings. No one sings songs about a shepherd boy because they have no what worthy accomplishments that would make somebody sing about them. After the victory against Goliath, though, everyone was thinking, man, I wish I knew David. After the victory, everyone was like, I wish I was David.
Yeah.
Right? But before the victory, everyone's thinking, David, who are you talking about? I have no idea who's David. David who? You see, before the victory, David was Jesse's forgotten son. Would you say this for me? Jesse's forgotten son. We're going to read scripture together. If you got your smartphone, you can use that. If you got a Bible, an actual book, you can open that up. We're going to be turning to 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 5. If you don't have any of those things, you can always look on the screens. But we're going to be looking at a great story that is often passed over when it comes to the narrative of David versus Goliath. It's found in 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to be reading quite a bit. Let's start with verse 1 through verse 5. The Lord said to Samuel, pop quiz, who is Samuel? Prophet. Now let me ask again, who's Samuel?
Prophet,
very good. How long will you mourn for Saul? Pop quiz, who's Saul?
King.
King, good. Y'all were right on it there. He's the first king of Israel. Since I have rejected him as king over Israel, there are some people you shouldn't mourn about anymore. That's a hard sermon, but somebody needs to hear it every once in a while. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Verse 2, but Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and he'll kill me. That's not a good thing. All right. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So let's review here. God tells Samuel, Samuel is the prophet, that he has rejected the current king. His name is Saul. Very good. And God orders Samuel to anoint a new king, even while the current king sits on the throne. That is not proper protocol, right? But this is not how things are done, but this is exactly what God is doing. God is selecting the next king of Israel, and he is sending the prophet Samuel to do it. The prophet Samuel is a big deal. Big things happened through Samuel. If you don't know Samuel's stories, you don't know some great Bible stories. Get in your Bible and read about Samuel. All right, so when he came to the gates of the city, this big bad prophet named Samuel, did you see that? He comes to the gates of Bethlehem, and the ruling elders of the town were nervous. And it says that they trembled. I'd like to add that maybe their voice cracked. Do you come in peace? Right? That's what they're asking. They don't know what this guy's doing, but they know he's big and bad enough. He might come with a bad news. He might come with some kind of plague from God for all they know. They might have done something wrong in that town. They are not so sure. This is out of the ordinary for a big guy like that to show up in a town like Bethlehem. It's always a big deal for a king or prophet to show up in the city of Bethlehem. Y'all get my point? It's a big deal for a king of kings maybe to show up in that town. Y'all know Bethlehem is the town of... All right, good job. All right, good job. It's a big deal for Samuel to be showing up. And they ask, do you come in peace? Samuel then invites the house of Jesse to make sacrifice to the Lord with him. And this is an amazing honor. Jesse and his sons were consecrated. And we don't always understand the term consecrated. We think maybe that's just dedicated. Like, you know, I'm just going to up my game and say, yes, I choose to serve Jesus. No, it's much bigger than that. It means that they were made clean. It means that all their sins were taken away. It means that they were made holy, that they were purified to be in the presence of the Lord. You see something in your Old Testament that we could bring a little bit into the New Testament. They had a reverence for the presence of the Lord. They didn't just walk into the presence of the Lord and just live any which way they wanted to. The presence of the Lord is a big deal. When you come into the presence of the Lord, you ought to be praying something, Lord, consecrate me, clean me, purify me, make me ready for your presence. All right, we're reading on 1 Samuel 16, verse 6 through 11. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. He sees the firstborn son of Jesse and he says, well, this was simple. Done. We found the guy. Look at this guy. He's got a chiseled jaw. He should be on the cover of a magazine. Here he is. Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But what happens? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Eliab is rejected. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. If you have a pen, you ought to underline that in your Bible. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord, what does he look at? He looks at the heart. All right, excellent. Looking on. Then Jesse's probably shocked here. Thought Eliab was the one. Well, let's go to the next one. Abinadab, come on in here, right? And had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen that one either. All right, interesting. So Jesse had his next one. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. So just imagine what's going on in Jesse's head right here. It's like, okay, whoa, guys, y'all are blowing it or something, right? Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has chosen none of these. The Lord has not chosen these, none of them. How many? Seven. Seven of his sons. So he asked Jesse, Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. But he, is there anyone else? Yeah, there's so and so, but you already know when a but comes in that sentence. It's like discounted. It's like, you know, don't expect much. You know, the other guys, they took a shower and put on, he's out tending sheep. You know, he's out there. Samuel said, send for him, and get this, we will not sit down until he arrives. Okay, one after the other, the prophet looked at the sons of Jesse, and Samuel thought, surely Eliab, that's the future king. God said no. Then Abinadab, nope. Shammah, nope, not the one. Jesse had seven sons pass before the prophet. Each one was rejected. Samuel had to be a little confused himself, right? Trying to figure out the situation. He's like, well, if all of these guys are rejected, the only other thing, I know I'm here, sent here for one of your sons. The only other thing is, could it be that you have another son? Now, wait a minute. Wait a cotton picking minute, they would say in Texas. Are you telling me that the prophet of God visited Jesse's house and Jesse didn't think enough of one of his sons to call him in? Are you telling me that the prophet of God came to the house to consecrate, to make holy, to cleanse Jesse and all of his sons? And Jesse was like, nah, we won't call one of them? We won't call one of them? Are you telling me that the prophet of God has come to sacrifice to the Lord in Jesse's house? The presence, the Shekinah glory of God is going to be in Jesse's house. And Jesse made sure to call Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, and the rest of seven and forgot one of them. Are you telling me that the prophet of God, who hands out blessing straight from heaven's throne, asked Jesse, hey, show off your sons, and Jesse forgets to bring one of his sons? Are you telling me that? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. 1 Samuel 16:11. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, but he is tending the sheep. And Samuel says, send for him. He says, get the boy. In fact, we're not going to sit down until he's here. Had to be kind of an awkward moment. Well, okay, y'all go get that boy. There'll just be a moment. All right, Jesse, you forgot someone. We're going to stand here and wait until you bring your youngest David and bring him right here. I, Samuel the prophet, have come to your house because God is selecting one of your sons to be the next king of Israel. You, Jesse, have only called the sons that you feel are qualified. You have only called the sons that hold a certain amount of pedigree. But you, Jesse, are not calling the next king of Israel. God is calling the next king of Israel. So go get the boy. Somebody say, go get the boy. Am I preaching to anyone today that feels like they may have been passed over by people? Am I preaching to anyone today that feels like other people always seem to get the call and you don't? Am I preaching to anyone that feels like maybe they haven't been invited? Am I preaching to anyone that feels forgotten on the backside of a pasture? Am I preaching to anyone that feels like they don't measure up to Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, or the rest? David was Jesse's forgotten boy. But, remember how they used the but on him, right? But he's tending sheep. Let's add our own little conjunction here. David was Jesse's forgotten boy, but he was the anointed of God. Just David wasn't invited, but God said, you're not going to sit down until David gets here. David was an afterthought to everyone, but God had his eye on him from the beginning. God, who called the prophet to go to David's town, to go to David's house, to reveal that David is integral to God's plan. Go get the boy. God calls people from obscurity and makes them champions. God selects shepherds and makes them warrior kings. God takes the forgotten and then they are remembered forever. 1 Samuel 6:12. So he sent and had David brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. The eighth child. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sons. No, finally this one comes in, the one forgotten, the one that's not invited, the one that smells like sheep. He shows up. He is the one. That's him. I hope you understand that I'm not preaching about David today. I'm preaching about you. God has sent me to tell you, you are the one. God wants me to tell you that while you may be on the backside of a pasture today, you're destined for a palace. You believe that? I believe it. I've come to tell you. You're anointed. You're favored. And you have a future. And God has a plan. And you are a cog. You are a main part of that plan. In fact, we're just going to sit here and wait until you get here, because that's as big of a part of the plan as you are. Today, I want to tell you this. Here, I've done all that to tell you. Here's the title of my sermon. You ready for it? Here it is. Promise. Everyone say promise. Promise. Trumps. Say it. Trumps. Pedigree. Say it. Pedigree. Promise trumps pedigree. David's brothers, they had pedigree, right? You know what pedigree is? Pedigree is the distinction some people place on others. Oh, do you know that person? Oh, that person's really talented. Do you know that person? That person has a really nice house. Do you know that person? That person is well to do. Do you know that person? That person's well known. Do you know? That's pedigree. It's a distinction that we put on somebody. And David didn't have it. His brothers had it. Some people have a name that denotes success. Oh, what's your last name? Rockefeller? One of these names that just stands out and says, you've never met a poor Rockefeller, have you? Fluids? Not so much. But we have good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marshall. Some people have that look about them, right? They just walk in the room and it's like, dang, why couldn't I look like that person, right? Those people exist, absolutely, and we've all felt that before, right? At least I have. All right, some people have a position. Some people have enough money, and it makes them desirable. Some people they're just screaming out prestige. David's brothers, they had pedigree. And Jesse made sure to call them before the prophet. But David, he didn't have pedigree, but he had promise. He had promise. Can I tell you that promise trumps what your resume says about you? I'm telling you, there are some jobs, there are some situations that have opened up for me, not because I was the smartest candidate, not because I had my act together, not because I had the best track record, but just simply because the promise of God was on my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And promise trumps what other people think about you. There have been times in my life where people have said nasty, untrue things about me, and there have been times in my life where people said nasty, true things about me. You saw where I was going, PA. You saw where I was going. But let me tell you, the promise of God can override all of that. Somebody lying about you, oh, it stinks to have somebody lying about you. But let me tell you, you got promise on you. You don't think twice about it. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, God himself will condemn it. What about that? You know what that is? That's a promise. And it trumps what other people say about you. Promise trumps your current job title. Promise trumps the amount of money in your bank account right now. Promise trumps all the mistakes you may have made in the past. David was not invited because he had a lack of pedigree, but David was anointed with the oil because he had promise. What do you want? Do you want pedigree or do you want promise? Those that had pedigree were rejected. But the one with promise, he was accepted and he was favored and he sat on the throne. 1 Samuel 16 and 13 says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Now you get this picture real quick. They're called. They put on the cologne. They washed up. They combed their hair. They had their servants shine their shoes and they're walking in there. And then David walks in. The one who has experienced all the rejection is now being accepted. And those with the pedigree have a front row seat to see what promise will get you. Look what promise gets you. And in the presence of his brothers, he's anointed with the oil. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And Samuel went to Ramah. What a story. What a story this is. This same David stood before a pedigreed giant named Goliath. You realize that giant had pedigree? Goliath was the champion of Philistia. Philistia, they were fierce warriors. And they looked around and they said, let's find our biggest, baddest warrior. And they said, well, that's pretty simple. It's that guy up there, Goliath. He is our champion. And what they would do is they would select a champion to send out. And instead of sending out all their battle and all their armies and all their horses, they would select a champion. They say, all right, well, you send us your biggest, baddest dude, and we'll send our biggest, baddest dude. And our biggest, baddest dude is going to stomp your biggest, baddest dude into a greasy pile of guts on the ground. And then you will be our slaves forever. And that was the deal of the day. That was what was going on. So this Goliath, he was their pedigree. He had their prestige. He was the biggest, baddest champion on the block. And Israel's like, all right, so we need to send out our champion to face Goliath. And there were crickets. It was silent. Nobody said a word. Nobody, in fact, Israel doesn't select a champion because they're all too afraid. They are hiding in their tents. Saul is hiding in his tent. All the men are standing on the sidelines. They are making sure that nobody's like going to push them out and everybody take a step back. And look, there's a champion. They're making sure. So David ends up out on that field. But get this. David was not selected by Israel to be their champion. Oh, far better. God selected David to be the champion that day. Let me tell you, far better than somebody coming to you and patting you on the back and giving you some certificate and declaring good words over you. As good as that is, there is nothing compared to the God of all eternity saying, that's the one, that's him, anoint that one. He's anointed. Anoint that one. That one has my promise. Anoint that one. That's the one I'm going to show my glory through. And that's exactly what was happening through David. Israel didn't select David champion. But even better, God did. Now, can I just get real with you? Because some of us, we've been awfully sad lately because somebody else hasn't made us their champion. We've been awfully bummed because somebody online didn't like our post, and it was really clever. They didn't even push like, much less share it. My goodness. By the way, none of y'all have liked my Instagram post this week. These altars are going to be open in a moment for you to pray about that. This David, he was chosen by God. In fact, while he's being chosen by God, we're going to find out next week, he's being made fun of. He's being ridiculed. He's the joke. He's carrying not a shield or a sword, but a lunchbox. But God chooses him. Let me tell you, are you going to continue worrying about what people think about you? Or are you going to stand up and understand that God is choosing you right now? And that's good enough. Can that be good enough today? Can that be good enough? God, that's good enough. That's good enough. Thank you so much. Israel didn't select David their champion. God did. But little did anyone understand this fact at the moment. I want to remind you, we celebrate champions before the victory. Oh, but we have a God. See, God celebrates champions before the victory. Before that stone ever knocked that giant out, God was already celebrating David. Before all of Israel was singing songs about David winning, God was already rejoicing over David while he was a shepherd. You see that? Before everyone else woke up and realized, hey, David's amazing. David's a really good guy. What an amazing person David is. Before all that, God had already looked upon David's heart and said, he's the one. God is celebrating you before you defeat the addiction once and for all. Can I tell you that? Maybe you've got an addiction problem. You got a drug addiction problem or something. Let me tell you, God celebrates you before you kick that habit. We have a God who celebrates us and sees the possibility and places promise on us before we ever get it right, right? God is celebrating you before your financial success. He's celebrating you before you get out of credit card debt. God is celebrating you before you spark revival and start sharing your faith. God is sharing you and celebrating you and talking about you and picking you and choosing you before. God celebrates you before you get your life together. Before anyone else notices you as the championship giant killer, God has already looked on your heart and declared, that one. This is the one. You have a promise. And promise trumps pedigree. Stop worrying about what others think. You are the anointed of God. Stop remembering how someone passed over you in the past. Oh my goodness, you are hand selected by God, David. These altars are about to be open. I want you to come talk to God. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We worship God together. We receive the word of God together. and we talk to God. And what we're going to do is we're just going to open up these altars. And this is this area up here. We use the word altar, and some people are like, what does that mean? This space right up here. And we want you to come and talk to God. We want you to have a talk with Him and say, God, thank you for selecting me. Thank you, God, for picking me. Thank you, God, for putting your oil on me and making me something. Why don't you already come? These altars are open. If you want special prayer in this house, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. And this lets us know you want somebody to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to pray God's blessing and God's favor on your life. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, no one's going to bother you. It's about you and God. So why don't you talk?
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.